Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
That one period where I grew it back then ended with me going to the hairdressers and just hating the experience so much that I just got home and shaved it off. And then just went back to this.
Yeah, I don't particularly like going to the hairdressers. I don't like all the small talk about it. And also when they say, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't really care. Just make it look smarter than it does. You
know? Well, who is it that said that thing, how would you like your hair cut? And the bloke said, in silence, please.
Oh, I have to remember that. Not that I go to the hairdressers anymore. Zoe does mine. In a combination of clippers and, if it's desperate, the top. Yeah.
Surely it's worth going just to have the opportunity to say,
that joke. Yeah. I'll remember that for this job I applied for today. So were you working away or was that a stay away as well?
No, it's just out every now and again we get like jobs come up that are not in and around London, and there just happens to be one. We've done a similar job for the similar people before, so they just kind of I'll use you again, but they're in Nottingham. And I was like,
so have you been in Nottingham this week?
Today, like there and back in a day.
Oh wow. Can you had what's that, train or drive or?
No, drive, yeah, because I had to take stuff with me, so I was in a van.
Oh, crap bags. I don't know, how long is that in a car? I've no idea where Nottingham is.
Well, the time I left, there was no traffic, so it took me about two hours 45 to get there.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's how long it takes me to get to Welling Garden.
Yeah, and then did the kind of the day's work and then managed to leave at about 3, so I was home by 6.
Yeah. Is that it now for Christmas, or are you still under the cosh with everyone wanting everything finished?
Yeah, that was another one where they're still sort of insisting that it's going to be finished before Christmas, but then the stuff that we needed to be done wasn't ready. So going up there today was still another, like, still leaves me in a position where the job's going to be happening next week now without me there, which is always annoying. Phone just rings all day.
And do you think you'll be moved back to working from home with all this recent shit going on?
I think with what I do, on any days when I don't need to go to London, I will then just stay at home. Because that, like, they say work from home if you can, don't they?
Yeah.
And technically what I do when I'm not on site is just phone calls and emails. So there's no point in me going all the way to the office to sit there and do it.
I think there's laws against my job being done at home, I'm sure. I could quite happily bring him round here and sit on the sofa, but I don't think they're allowed to enter anyone else's homes and stuff. That's what I suggested during the first lockdown when it said you have to work from home. I said I'm quite willing to take either Pat or Phil with me. So your week's been busy, worky.
Yeah, we had our like staff work do on Friday night.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Yeah, it was good. We went to Marlowe, had a few drinks, went for a meal, and then back for a few drinks afterwards. It wasn't like a wild night because we did a sort of summer work do at that Marlowe party in the park thing, pub in the park.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we had a limited budget left, so we just did a meal and a few drinks. But it was really good. It was over too quickly, though.
Yeah. But when I think about Christmas dudes in the past, I think, that bloke's a really good laugh, or that, I can't wait, he's a real out of the edder, that'll be good. But now I think I just really, try and get away from that kind of person on the staff too. Because eventually you just end up talking about work and it's shit.
Honestly, I make a real conscious effort to not talk about work on like dudes like that. Yeah, I'll get people onto any other subject I possibly can. Yeah.
And have you seen that episode of Peep Show when they go to watch a play and they both talk about the fact they could be at home watching Heat on DVD, which would be a lot better. I think that about Christmas dudes, other than like going out with work people. I think you're not actually my friends. You're not like, I like you, but you know, I'd rather spend this time with my proper friends.
Yeah, it is a hard thing, like at certain times of the year, especially like Christmas time as well, when you've got you've probably got multiple invites that you turn down over the course of like December.
No. And
the work one you kind of have to go on. I struggled with like group meals for so many years. I couldn't stand them when I was younger.
No, I think like they massively
so many things about it.
Massively get in the way of drinking, I used to find. You're kind of sitting around with, or if when you're like, the boss's boss is there as well. Oh, well, you haven't met Lynn before, have you? And you're like, oh, right. So we'll be sensible, shall we? All night. Fantastic. when you work at a school, you're basically, everyone's like sipping their drinks and being polite, watching the headmistress. The second she leaves the place, you're like, oh, I hope she doesn't. You're like, oh, right, now we'll have 20 Sambucas and get on Jaeger bombs and, you know, wait for her to leave. And then you're just bang on it because you don't want to come back into work. But then those people, I don't know if it's on every Christmas do, but you have those people who are driving who start filming stuff, or like you're messing about and they'll get their car out to film you. And I absolutely hate that. As soon as someone starts filming me, I just kind of shut down straight away. Just like, I don't know why you're doing that. I don't want you to. Or when someone goes, like they're on the Monday when you're back at work, oh, you were drunk on Friday. I think, yeah, that's how it fucking works. Yeah. There's a bar and it was open and I got drunk. Yeah, like, oh, watch this video of you dancing. Yeah, I was messing about. It's fun. But now it's not.
I used to hate just the whole service bit where, like, as someone who didn't like going on them, I'd think, oh, when I do go on one, I'll do it wrong.
Right.
but then it's not. It's the people who organise it that don't. Like, they insist on you ordering dinner in advance.
Yeah.
And then the amount of people who forget what they've ordered just causes, it just is chaos immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. And then, like, waiters and waitresses come over and stand there and announcing the food they've got in their hand and just get completely ignored because people haven't got the peripheral vision and aware to be talking to someone like we are now and still be aware, oh, hang on a second, there's a waitress there and sort of what you're doing. They just talk. The other night was okay. So I was like, oh, right, okay, thank goodness for that. But yeah, for years, I suppose it was, it's a relatively small group that we were out in. So it's not too out. Bro, it wasn't like sort of six tables with eight people on each.
It's the designated fun time, you know. I can't stand it. Yeah, like New Year's Eve. I think I'm working New Year's Eve this year, and I'm working Christmas Day and stuff. So it's like, speaking to my father-in-law today, I think we're going around there for Christmas dinner. And he said, oh, we've put you in charge of entertainment. I thought, fantastic. I said, fantastic. We'll have no entertainment. I've got no interest in playing charades and stuff like that. That was funny, like last week. I've retold the story about Duck Mallard. But then, when I retold it was my dad. I'm meeting up with some old schoolmates like Greg and Wayne, and a couple of people dropped out sadly due to having positive tests and that on Saturday. And I think that will probably be my whole Christmas do's and everything into that one day. But I'm getting a bus at like 7 a.m. from Bristol to London, and then I've got to be back on that bus at 9 o'clock at night. So it's going to be okay, really. Get everything done and out of the way and back here. So I like the thought of coming.
Where are you aiming for? What particular sort of area or place, or are you driving around?
We're going to a sports bar in Old Street that brews their own lager. Not up my street at all, but I'll probably stay on the non-alcoholic boat this year again. So looking forward to seeing people, and should be good. You know, I just get so excited, and then people start dropping out, and then some people have got like, oh, maybe we could go to this bar instead. And like Chris Lorimer's back from Thailand, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But obviously he's worried about, he's a new dad as well, getting, like, giving COVID back to his family and stuff, being in busy bars in London. I just don't think it's just unavoidable, I think, because we're still going to get on public transport. We're still going to be in bars. If that bar's got a garden and that bar's got a high ceiling and a window open, it's not, I don't think there's really much difference. But, you know, I think it, unfortunately, it is what it is. I suppose we better do the podcast. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
This week I was going to take notes, actually, and see, because when I write the bump of what we actually spoke about, I always forget what we spoke about because obviously we record it and then I have to go through it, but I don't really listen to it properly. I don't like play it for 2 hours and then cut it. Cut it as it goes, kind of thing. Normally the thing I've written down, I try and write it like we have an assistant that someone else is working for us rather than it's me. So I always kind of, Mark and Russell this week, talk about it. I think episode 5.
I found it hard. I found it hard like this one because of I found myself going back to programs that we've already kind of covered quite a bit.
Yeah,
like the curb blooper that we've already played.
Yeah, before. The ejaculate. I think it's a kind of I think it stems from that. I think that's such a funny blooper, and then that made me think of like doing it for this. But because I like I say with my the algorithms, it's just full of bloopers most of the time. I think because that's I kind of caught an edge of one, and then I think it was the Friends bloopers that's kind of opened it up to this, because Zoe really likes the Friends bloopers, but it's mainly Joey calling Ross a jack off. So yeah, this is episode 5 of season 2, and we're going to be talking about our favorite bloopers this week. And we're a bit late to the party this week, weren't we? So how did you think about what bloopers? Is it just ones you've already seen and you remembered, or you do look up a program that you like and then look for bloopers from it?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them was like a program that sort of led me into it, and then another one was just remembering a specific one that I'd seen once before and liked, which is almost like led me on to very much putting the film that one was from back on my list to watch soon, because I've underwatched it in terms of the amount of that type of film and how often I usually re-watch them. When I was watching it, I was like, you know, I think I've only seen this film a couple of times, which is weird. I would usually have watched that film or a film like that, like Double Figure.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. I wasn't a massive fan of it, but it's a good choice, and we'll go through it in a bit. I got asked, I hadn't like a written interview this week for as a BBC staff writer. And one of the questions was, what do you like and dislike about current BBC programming? And I thought, oh, like, I don't want to just say everything I hate. Just let me just bullet point 20 sitcoms that I dislike from you.
no explanation or no.
Yeah.
Lists.
Yeah, well, it's exciting to do, and then because we do this podcast, that you know, it's accredited, so we can like you can use that as a like a, on a CV as a reference. So I've done that, so you might be a reference for me at some point. So if you could make up some shit, that'd be great. I was thinking of watching one episode of Mrs. Brown's Boys and saying minute by minute of everything I hated within like wig, set design, the jokes, the actual people. But there you go. But then like I tried to put in the thing that it's comedy so subjective that it's pointless saying what you like and what you don't like, because it's not the same as everyone else's. So I did put that I'm not a massive fan of like reboots and like broad sitcoms, but I didn't name anyone specifically. I just spoke about Dave and Atlanta for for a couple of pages. Easily done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll keep you updated how it goes, but I can also tell you now, it didn't go well.
You're joking. He's power mad. He wants to destroy us.
I used to have a boss, supervisor, just like lad when I worked at Walker's. Right, piece of work. We're all booked to go on a Christmas meal. Me and a few of the lads. We got a coach to pick us up from the Albion. 3-course meal, all in. Coffee, mints, cheese board, disco after, dancing. Anyway. Anyway, he said we couldn't go. Just like that. Said we had to clock off our normal time. He knew we'd had it booked for months and all. Made us clock off our normal time. He wouldn't let us clock off early. He knew we'd had it booked for months, and he made us clock off at our normal time. I used to have a supervisor just like lad when I worked at Walker's supervisor. Sorry. I used to have a supervisor just like lad. I'm really sorry, I can't help it, they were laughing. And
a little bit annoyed, look at anybody else. Shut up, for fuck's
sake.
3-course meal, all in. Cheese, bud, coffee.
Right, come on.
That's good, then, man.
Right, come on, we're going now. This is it. Come on.
Action.
Well, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
What did you do?
What can you do? We didn't go, we lost time.
Come on. God. I can't look at the floor, don't look at me.
Okay,
Alright, okay.
Action.
Well, let one of those clog.
What did you do?
What can you do? We couldn't go. Didn't go. We lost our deposit.
Right, so that is young Kenny can't finish his lines from the Phoenix Knights and was Rockall's last-minute second choice. And why have you gone for that from the sea of Phoenix Knights outtakes?
I just, that was the one where I just searched the programme first, so I didn't have a particular one in mind. I just remembered seeing there was a lot. I remember when that, when those DVDs came out, there was lots of extras. And in fact, a lot of the clips on YouTube are like the full 25 minute, but then I just saw that was like a snip to just one individual one. And then the minute I saw it, I was like, oh, I remember liking this one. But I don't know, the only way to avoid that happening must be to just stop it happening in the first place. Once it starts, that must be hours. That must last hours sometimes.
Yeah, because it's not even like a case. If you look at the same with The Office, if you look through the extras or the bloopers from The Office, like Ricky Gervais will purposely try and make other people laugh, and he'll add extra jokes in there. But then the lines, is it Justin Morehouse that's doing that?
Yeah.
Justin Morehouse, young Kenny, is giving the lines. It's not actually a funny bit. There's not a joke in that bit he's saying. But you know, as soon as he said, like, cheese, board, you see Dave Spikey's face just kind of twitch, and then that makes everybody else laugh. And like, it's brilliant. And I think Phoenix Knights outtakes are amazing. I really loved Phoenix Knights. I don't know if I'd go back and watch it now and think it would be just as good. Have you tried to do that? Or
not recently. No, I watched it a good few years after the first time and still liked it. I would now, but it's not never been readily available, I don't think.
No, but I think everyone's got it on DVD, haven't they?
Yeah, I've never seen it streaming, but then we kind of, you know, our DVD player that we had years ago was just a cheap one that we just kind of used until we got to the point where we just didn't find ourselves needing it anymore, and then just kind of, I don't know, binned it or took it to the recycling place.
Yeah.
And haven't bothered. So that would be the only way, I think, would be to actually get something to watch DVDs on and then watch it. I think I will again at some point, because I do like watching bits like that. There are bits in it that I really remember liking. They're all sort of comics and comedians together. They just must have such a good time doing things like that.
Yeah. And then the fact that they're good friends and they're having a laugh like that is like, and you know, they're not purposely trying to make each other laugh, but they do because they know each other so well. And you forget how funny that Phoenix Knights is. I think when I think about Peter Kay, I think about how bad he is now. And then Phoenix Knights is actually brilliant, isn't it?
I liked the car share thing in places. There was bits of it that I preferred more than others. I think the minute I get the impression that he's making it up as he goes along, I prefer it, which obviously is the Herb thing. But have you ever, have you been in positions that you can remember where you were, like, you start getting the giggles when you shouldn't? Obviously, working in a school, I'm sure there must have been times where something is said that you shouldn't laugh at, but you have to sort of press it.
Yeah, regularly. Now I don't work at schools, I can talk about these things, but the head PA, I couldn't stand her. She was fucking horrible. And once she came up, this is why I didn't like her. But once she came, so I would send work home for kids who have been suspended because it's like a legal requirement. So it'd be my job to collect the work from all their teachers, kind of thing. And then she would come up with a letter to, like, you put it all in this envelope. And she came up to my room and just threw it in the envelope while I was sitting there onto the desk, and then turned and walked back out. And I thought, I'm not having it. So I picked the envelope up and I went down to her office, and I didn't put anything in it, and just threw it onto her desk and then walked out again. And then I got called to the head's office, as you do, and said, why'd you do that? And I said, oh, that's exactly what she did to me. So I thought it was like a little game or like, and she kind of like, oh, it's really insulting. I went, but she's done exactly the same thing. And they said, well, you know, you should be more adult about it. I thought, yeah, you're right. But also I wasn't taking that shit at the time. So I didn't like her. So I didn't like her. And there was a few other reasons, but yeah, I won't go into it. And then this kid who spent a lot of time in the behaviour room, was he was quite good at cooking, and he really enjoyed his cooking lessons. And he made a big chili and was bringing it up to our office to show us this chili that he'd made. And on the way there, he tried to go through like these double doors, these fire doors, and got it wrong and spilt the whole chili onto the floor. And then I came down because he was upset and he was kicking off a little bit about it. And then the head PA came out and said, "This is not acceptable. You need to clean this up. You need to get out of the way, you know." And he looked up at her and went, "Well, why don't you shut up, you silly old cunt?" And I stood there and I could not control my face. I just turned away and like looked down and just, you know, when you hold your, I didn't want to go two hands like in a praying, like when you try and calm yourself down, I just held my nose and mouth and just walked like 5 yards. And I thought, it's a shame because he's going to get in loads of trouble for that. Well, he did, to be fair. I just couldn't, I could not stop laughing. And then you just look for other people to tell, to get on, like to laugh as well. Oh, it's fucking funny. It made my absolute day. Oh, his kid was amazing. Like, he was just so funny all the time, but he didn't know it. I went to, I know we're coming off the subject now, but I went to see him and I knocked on the classroom door and I said, "Oh, can the kid come out?" I said, "Can you come out? Can I speak to so and so? Can you come outside, please?" And he came outside. He goes, "Sir, I didn't mean to do it." And I said, "All right, what's that?" He goes, "I didn't mean to hit him. Basically, he hit me first because he was talking about my cousin. And then, so I hit him and then he hit me. And then, well, like, kind of told me this whole story about him having a fight." I went, "Oh, well, that's excellent, mate. Also, your mum's brought your lunch in." Just told me his whole story. He got himself into trouble. But the only reason I was seeing him was to hand him his lunch. Yeah, it was. But yeah, it's you do find yourself in those situations, especially when you're telling off like a large group of kids. But we used to play these games like on school trips. Good cop, bad cop, fidget. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So three of us would go into a room to check on whether it was tidy, if there was like, you know, settle them down, get them off to bed. And then you took it in turns, basically. So one person had to be the good cop, one person had to be the bad cop, and you just made stuff up. And then like, so you could say, if you're a bad cop, you could say stuff about bad, like things that are wrong, but really minuscule. And the fidget had to just move stuff about. And we used to play that all the time. And then sometimes you actually had to have like a go at the kids for messing about or something. And you just see out the corner of your eye, like someone moving a pillow or like, you just, it kind of, all these stupid little games that you used to play. When they're doing tests in the hall, you know, playing Pac-Man and stuff, trying to play it, like walking in and out of the guy, things like that. Or, you know, which kid will be the first kid to get someone pregnant or be pregnant. And then your friend goes off and stands behind them, those kind of things. You do a lot of that. Yeah, just stupid little games you used to play to kind of pass the time. Like while I was booking in, I had to talk to parents, like on parents' evening. And I'd be booking them in for appointments. And me and my friend were seeing how many animal noises we could make during, like, while we were talking to parents and stuff. Like, some quite obvious, like, "I'm just going to move your, like, appointment." Or, and then my mate was just going, "Oh, I think I ribbit that wrong." And the parent was like, "Did you just say ribbit?" Yeah, when you get caught, I've gone off on a tangent, but there was this guy on a PGL trip, one of the kind of PGL instructors that really looked like Will Ferrell. I said, "Right, how many Will Ferrell films can you say in front of him without him noticing kind of thing? So it ran for the kind of week. I kind of like, "Oh, here he comes, the Wedding Crasher," like the kind of, you know, trying to squeeze it in without him noticing. At one point, my mate, Adam Wharton, absolutely one of the funniest blokes I've ever met, just looked at him and went, "Step Brothers." To answer your question, yes, there have been lots of times where I've tried not to laugh and laugh.
But there's, like I say, the thing that in that Phoenix Nights thing, the line is not funny. It's not a funny bit of the programme. There's nothing sort of comical about it. But just once it goes wrong, you start laughing, it can last for a long time.
Yeah, because it's kind of corpsing, isn't it? It's kind of called in the industry, in the biz. And it happens a lot on Saturday Night Live, but Saturday Night Live kind of use it sometimes to actually make some comedy out of the sketch. Like Jimmy Fallon did it all the time, and it was funny at first, and then it just like, oh, fucking act professionally. get through the fucking sketch about looking at people and laughing or pretending to laugh. And the thing Snipes really liked, I think it was very quotable, wasn't it, for quite a while?
Yeah.
And people could rehearse or say massive chunks of dialogue because it was quite memorable. But I think Phoenix Knights almost suffered from like Kaiser Chief syndrome, where it was quite niche and unpopular, but very good. And then when it started getting popular, the jokes became broader and the songs became worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think I'd maybe try and watch Phoenix Knights again, but I wouldn't watch Max and Paddy again.
No, I think Paddy McGuinness, that was his apex, I think, Phoenix Knights.
Yeah.
Max and Paddy was a bit. Max and Paddy just didn't. It was one of those things that you watch because you're a fan of Phoenix Knights, and it's curiosity initially that gets you, but you have to end up. You kind of admit to yourself a few in. Now this is not as funny.
Yeah.
As
And then Paddy McGuinness on Question of Sport. Have you experienced that yet?
No, I think there's been one occasion where I came in, and it was on, and then I just turned it off.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of clips online, and like I think off script he's not particularly funny. He's just I don't think I need to repeat the fact that he's not funny. He's got an accent.
No, maybe I should have picked a Phoenix Knights clip with Paddy McGuinness in it, because it feels like we've given him a hard time in recent.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sorry, Paddy. I know you're a big fan, but yeah, maybe. He did a thing on Top Gear the other week, with he's talking about Eddie Kidd. Did you see that? It was brilliant.
No.
So he kind of like did this whole kind of thing about Eddie Kidd, about him being his hero as a kid. And then obviously his accident, and then met him obviously in his current state of affairs. And then they put on a show in his honor kind of thing with him there. And it was like, I did like a couple of tears come out. It was really, really well done. And so, yeah, maybe stuff that he cares about, he does a lot better at. But I think with Question of Sport, I don't know a lot of sportsmen anymore. I couldn't name you like a lot of Premier League footballers now. I used to know like West Ham's third choice keeper. Now I couldn't tell you who's in goal for them regularly.
No, I know. Yeah, with Question of Sport, at the peak of me watching it, I could obviously get a lot of football questions right, but I could also like hold my own on
snooker and whatever
field else. And snooker and cricket and motor racing. I knew a lot of names, you know, at any one stage, like back then, I could have probably named like 20 current drivers in the F1 sort of thing. And I'd struggle to name two now. I could name two,
because of this weekend. I saw in my father-in-law, Steve, he really likes F1. And so does my friend Mark, who's really into it. I don't think there's a worse sport out there that I don't want to watch. But then I feign interest, and it's nice to have a bit of knowledge about it so you can hold a conversation kind of thing. But I put on Facebook, I couldn't understand what actually was the problem of this weekend. And then my father-in-law explained it to me today, and I thought, oh yeah, I actually get it now. That doesn't seem fair. but there was a Schumacher racing. And I thought, is that Ralph? Because it can't be Michael. But apparently it's, I don't know, is it Michael Schumacher's son? I've no idea.
I don't know. Ralph Macker feels like he's potentially retired by now. So it might be.
Yeah.
It might be done. It might be done. Yeah. You said a little a minute ago about what are they called? Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
The minute it's even harder now as well with social media and Twitter, because you see so many people like gushing over something very quickly, that turns me off. Even if I've not got a view on it myself, too many people talking about the same thing, I'm just like, I'm not going to do that, I don't think. So, like, I didn't watch Squid Game. Things that I maybe would have watched in the past if it wasn't sort of everywhere you looked.
I think I always try an episode of something if it's being spoken about a lot, but I wouldn't watch something popular. Like Strictly is popular. I wouldn't watch an episode of Strictly. I wouldn't like watch a lot of sitcoms, as we've spoke about before. But something like Squid Games, I think all Korean, like I'll give it a go. I like Korean cinema at the moment. I like Parasite, I like Okja. I'll give it a go. And then I watched Squid Games and I thought, wow, that is absolutely brilliant. I wanted to watch the next episode straight away. It's, brilliant. But then I tried to watch 24 again. I was kind of just something on in the background. And then you kind of like, oh, I remember her. Oh, yeah, I remember she's a bad guy in the next series. So that's crap.
I sort of say sometimes, oh, I don't have the time to watch things.
Yeah.
But I've watched Jay-Z's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice this week on YouTube.
Oh, that's so sad. Also, I did that as well. After you sent it to me, Chappelle's bit is fantastic. I liked it when he said, he used to sell crack. It's not kind of, it's funny because it's Dave Chappelle, but it's not particularly funny what he's saying. It's quite serious, isn't it? Like, he used to sell crack, and then he goes, the American pie isn't made out of apples. It's made out of whatever the fuck you can get your hands on. And I thought, yeah, that's really, really good. I think to myself, oh, I haven't got this. I've tried to stop watching the same video more than once. Excuse me. And if I put on a video like on Facebook, like, and I think, oh, I've seen that, I'll try and skip it now. But having said that, the video you sent me this week of Dolly shouting snowman, I've probably watched that for a total of more than 20 minutes.
It's so funny how she does that now.
Mm. Did you kind of teach her how to do it, or did she pick up on you saying it?
I think initially, like last year it would have been, when she was sort of old enough to hear things like that and repeat them, I think I just started saying it. She started saying it.
Yeah.
But not really... not regularly, whereas now it's been a thing that has come up often enough that she sort of says it now unprompted. So it's just funny because me and Emma and Dolly will like walk into a garden centre and I'll be kind of wandering over there pottering something, and then I'll just hear a voice from the other side of the garden centre going, snowman!
Sorry if I'm not all fancy pants and wealthy and showing it all off with my Vidal Sassoon haircuts. Sorry. Quit slow blinking at me.
I'm sorry.
I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the fucking jaw with my foot bone. That's what I would fucking love. I wish my fucking foot would go right through your skull. This is what happens when you corner a rat. I will fucking kill you. You corner me, I will fucking chew through you. I'll chew through you. Slow blinking eyes. I will chew off your fucking eyelids. You won't slow blink at me, will you?
Did you drink before you came here?
No, but I'm going to start drinking. I'm going to slit somebody open like a fish and drink their blood. That's what I'm going to drink. If we don't start getting to the fucking point here. Probably I'm going to start with Karen Carpenter's head. I'm going to rip her head off and I'm going to drink her blood. And then I'm going to come back and light you on fire. I'm going to light you all on fire, but I'm going to start with you, Jill. I'm going to fucking torch you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy a fucking pickup truck and a cord of rope, and I'm going to string it around all three of your fucking necks and then drive around town dragging you. That's what I'm going to fucking do.
That's completely uncalled for.
Really, Jill? Do you think it is? Fuck off, Jill. God, everybody fucking hates you. God.
That's even nice.
Go suck a big fucking dick, Jill.
That's totally uncalled for,
You're
Catherine.
A fucking asshole. Everybody hates you. They hate your fucking Bob. And I'm glad your husband died. You're a fucking asshole. He probably killed himself. I would. Kill myself. Gotta kill myself, Jill.
Right, so that is Melissa McCarthy going off on one, let's say that, on the closing credits of This Is 40. And they actually use that in the movie, and then they show that bit at the end of the film of kind of the full bit with them kind of Paul Rudd laughing and Leslie Mann laughing there. Have you watched This Is 40?
No, I've not seen the film, so I was going to ask, what's the actual... sometimes those things are better when you're familiar with the actual scene.
Yeah, I think
so. You know what the kind of gist of it was in the first place.
So Judd Apatow is the writer director of it, and Leslie Mann is Judd Apatow's real life wife, and the kids, Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann's kids in the movie are Leslie Mann and Judd Apatow's kids, right? And Paul Rudd almost plays Judd Apatow, which seems a bit strange, but it's the same cast as or the same family from Knocked Up.
Yeah.
The kids are a bit older now. And Melissa McCarthy's son, Tex Sadie, who's one of the girls who's Paul Rudd's and Leslie Mann's daughter, about her being ugly, and then tries to get people to join in bullying him. And then Leslie Mann bumps into the son at the school, and really like starts calling him like that. He looks like a Tom Petty looking motherfucker and like really goes off at him. But it's, you know, it's all her own kind of problems that are coming out onto this child. Paul Rudd, then Melissa McCarthy goes to see Paul Rudd to say, your wife has just said this to my son. And then he says to her, I'm going to take your iPod and stick it up your eye, cunt. And then they have a bit of a pushing match and then they end up in the head's office with Melissa McCarthy, like having a right go at these. And then they're trying to put the blame on Melissa McCarthy. Like, this is, you know, look at her. This is what we have to deal with. We've done nothing wrong. When it's basically Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd have done everything. And they're kind of, they're arguing with each other because they're having trouble becoming 40 and stuff. And they, like, it all comes out like, they're having problems with each other, but when they have a common enemy, they're really good together, kind of thing. It's really good in the movie how it works like
that. Yeah.
But This Is 40, it's not as good as Knocked Up, but I really like it. I think it's really good, and there's some decent cameos in there. And most of Judd Apatow's stuff's really good. I'd recommend watching it. It's a bit like, you know, like Funny People as well. Have you seen that with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
It's kind of that kind of vibe to it. You see behind the curtain kind of thing. I really like it. I'd watch it again. And there's Megan Fox is works for Leslie Mann, and Chris O'Dowd and Jason Segel are both trying to get hold of Megan Fox. And that dynamic within the movie is really good as well. Chris O'Dowd's I think he's funny in everything. I really like him, especially on like chat shows and stuff. But yeah, I think when she says, I want to ram my foot bone through your jaw, there's just no need to say foot bone, is there?
Just no.
And that's what gets Paul Rudd going. Yeah. Mm-mm.
And that was it. Yeah, that's it then. Once that's the line, isn't it? That's where it starts. So are there any lines or bits from that point onwards that made the scene that's in the actual film then?
Yeah, majority of it, other than them laughing. Like
they just cut around it.
Yeah,
and
when she says to the head that she's glad her husband died, I think that's completely ad-libbed. I think most of that, I mean, she's got a couple of ideas in her head, but the way she goes through it, because she doesn't break at any point, does she? She's really, really good.
No.
Yeah, I think she just kind of goes off on one and it's going well, so she keeps going. And I think Melissa McCarthy's incredibly talented, even though I probably wouldn't watch a lot of the movies that she's in now.
Well, I was just going to say, she really, they like absolutely churned her out, didn't they, for a few years?
Yeah.
There was so many films that she was in. And I saw her in, like, Bridesmaids.
Yeah, she's good in that.
But that was almost like a introduction, wasn't it? That was,
yeah,
that was off the back of that. And then there was so many films for a few years, none of which I saw, but you just keep seeing the trailers and you're seeing, there was one with Sandra Bullock that I remember seeing trailers for.
Yeah, they're both police women or something. And then there was one with Jason Statham where she was a spy or something. That's a problem. I think it must be a big problem. Like Melissa Carthy had to work probably harder than most people because of her age and weight and her gender to become a big movie star. You know, not many people that look and sound like her have become big movie stars. And then it must be hard to turn down roles from that point onwards, if you know what I mean. Like, we'll offer you this much money to be in a film with Jason Statham. She's probably like, yeah, before we get to even what script. But then she was in this film, Can You Ever Forgive Me, with Richard E. Grant, where she kind of does, it's a really serious film, where she's a forger of, like, signed books. So she'll buy an old book and then she'll forge the writer's kind of signature in it and stuff. And it's not funny in any shape or form, but Melissa McCarthy's amazing. I think she got nominated for an Oscar but didn't win. But she's really, really, I think she's got a wide range to her. She's really great. And on Saturday Night Live, she played Sean Spicer, who was like the first press secretary for Donald Trump. And she's brilliant at it. Like, you should look that up. She does like two or three really good impressions of Sean Spicer. I really like Melissa McCarthy, as you could probably tell.
it never surprises me when good comedy actors prove they can do good straight acting, because comedy acting is, well, a lot of people say it's kind of harder to do than straight acting. So if you're someone that's a really good comedy actor, you know, it never, like, well, you know, when Steve Coogan in Philomena, and when that sort of got really big, I just wasn't surprised at all, because you just think to yourself, well, if you can do that sort of level of comic acting with Alan Partridge and characters and stuff like that, it just
yeah it,
yeah, that's harder a lot of the time than you know. They must learn in the first week at acting classes when they're younger how to cry and stuff like that. But you can't teach people how to do what Steve Coogan does when he's Alan Partridge, when he's talking to the policeman and he does that chin scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. Not loads of actors bridge that gap, do they? Like Jim Carrey was, you know, went from 100 to zero, if you know what I mean, in his comic. And then the films he's in now, like, aren't great. And some of the serious ones, I liked Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. Man on the Moon's an amazing piece of art, basically. Like, I think with Jim Carrey, I still would, if I could watch any Jim Carrey movie, I'd still go for Ace Ventura, you know?
Well, like a desert island, like, you should only have one.
Yeah, one Jim Carrey movie. And same with Will Ferrell, where everything he's been in is funny. I don't like particularly the You films he's been in, you know, the kind of kicking and screamings and the, what's the one with Mark Wahlberg where he's like, their dads, I'm not sure what that's called.
Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home 2 as well. Films like that, I'm not fussed that, you know, I love Will Ferrell, but I won't watch him in those kind of things because I know it's going to be crap. And then I've watched a couple of his other films where he's quite serious. I like Burn After Reading. Stranger Than Fiction's really good. But there's another one where he's kind of like a loser in a motel and you think you just want to laugh because it is Will Ferrell. I know they say, like, he's one of those people that just funny bones. So when he's acting in a serious way, you're still like waiting for him to get a cowbell out or do something stupid. Melissa McCarthy's great. I think This Is 40, most of Judd Apatow's stuff's really good.
That's one of those films where they play outtakes and bloopers during the credits.
Yeah.
I used to love that. Something About Mary do that, didn't they? I think there's bits at the end of Something About Mary. What I used to always really look forward to, and they sometimes did it and sometimes didn't. So it was always one of those programmes that when it finished, you waited for that second to see if it was going to be credits with bloopers or was the Fresh Prince. They sometimes did it, but then sometimes didn't. Yeah. That was always a real, real surprise when those credits start, because that was a classic kind of American sitcom that would end with a freeze frame.
Yeah.
And then the music would start, and then it just, when it skipped to the next page of credits, you'd be waiting and waiting, like, is it? And it's not.
There's quite a few, like, Pixar movies do them now, don't they? Like, at the end of every film, they do fake ones. And I think Jackie Chan used to do it mainly. At the end of every, a Jackie Chan movie, they'd have a series of him getting the stunts wrong kind of thing. And then Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3 all have those credit scenes at the end where Chris Tucker's being involved in, like, getting stuff wrong as well. It's really good.
I watched one of the Rush Hour ones was one of the ones that I looked for that I remember where Chris Tucker keeps calling him Jackie.
Yeah, in front of Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Don Cheadle says his name is Lee, goddammit.
Yeah. That must be difficult. It's such a legend. You're trying to get through, if it's a Curb related script, you know, where there's not much to it and it says to ad lib. Some films when they are told to ad lib. Like, most characters' names are the same, you know, like Larry is Larry. I think it's Love, Honor and Obey. That's the same kind of idea to the script. And everyone's got their actual real first name.
IPA, please, and large whiskey.
Oi, Matt. Oh. How you doing? You all right?
All right, yeah.
It's my voice. It's Ratty, the nonce.
Hello. Right, yeah, no. Heard a lot about you two.
Yeah, he's not just the nonce. He's got loads of other nicknames, didn't he? Yeah, go on,
Fantastic, Minge and Bracket, Clitoris, all sorts.
The Growler, Prowler, Billy the Cunt, AIDS.
Flapjack.
Do it again.
I've heard a lot about you two, actually. Oh.
Yeah, he's got loads of other nicknames, not just the nonce. Go on, pipe up.
Fantastic, Minge and Bracket, Clitoris, all sorts.
Shit nuts, Billy the Cunt, AIDS.
That's a good one. One more.
Yeah, it's not just the nonce. You've got loads of nicknames, haven't you? Go on, pipe up. Yeah,
Fantastic, Minge and Bracket, Clitoris, all sorts.
Shit for brains, Billy the Cunt, AIDS.
AIDS.
Cock dodger, cock smuggler, cock sucker, dick licker, Turkish rim job.
Right, do them again. Yeah, okay. Do them again.
Dick licker, cock sucker, shit for brains, shit head. Your mum's shit mum. Fucking off, you've got queer minute right now. Let me go and get on that. Right, okay. Shit for brains, Harold shit mum.
Harold shit
shit, Mum. Right, I don't even know what that means.
Shit for brains, hell shit, Mum.
Queer mint rhino.
Yeah, fucking long dong silver. Sorry.
And again, do that.
Shit for brains, hell shit, Mum.
Queer mint rhino.
Yeah, fucking long dong silver.
Jamie Redknapp.
Quimmy Savile, bone alone, Michael Parkin bum.
Queer mint rhino.
That's so
okay. Okay, okay, I don't know what this is anymore.
Right, so that is from the season two of Afterlife. I think it's possibly very quickly became one of the most popular bloopers of all time. Those two in the pub, basically coming up with nicknames, and every new nickname that comes out, Ricky Gervais loses his fucking mind. and that's got to a level now where you can buy like mugs and t-shirts with all those nicknames on it. but I can't remember the program well enough to know what they actually put out.
Have you no, as well, it's the same as that This Is 41. It's always I can't remember. I've seen it, but only once. So yeah, I can't remember what bits went in there. I would guess not the ones that were making him laugh the most. So
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Queer mint rhino feels like the sort of one that would be left in there.
Yeah. Michael Parky bum. I think, but my favourite one's when he just goes, your mum's shit. That'd be a good nickname for someone. And Dennis Penis, what's his real name? Paul K?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's kind of his little naughty schoolboy face just laughing along at it all. It's like, it completely makes it. Oh, just, it's such a good blooper, isn't it?
So, yeah. So Paul K, the one who they're giving all the nicknames to, he's very familiar. He's been in a lot of things in recent years. He was in that phone shop.
Yeah.
I always looked at him in the early things you used to see him in. And he was one of those people who felt like he'd not copied David Brent, but he was very Brent-like in his, in his, all very much like that. All the time. So it's weird to see him end up in something with Ricky Gervais.
But yeah, I think Ricky Gervais is kind of like loved his bloopers, isn't he? And I think when you've got the Office DVD, you know, the bloopers were a big part of it and he kind of sells it very well. And I think in the one of them, he goes, oh, do you want to see the bits where we fucked up? Like, with a really straight face. Those nicknames are brilliant. And I'm sure a lot of people would be called those nicknames now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's always someone in a gang who'd be the one who'd end up getting called those names.
Because Pete
Even K, when they don't work, if they don't apply to a person, but people will be desperate to use them, so they'll just force them on someone.
Yeah. And some of them, you know, I don't think... We've got a lot of friends the same, obviously. I don't think anyone's got a nickname of that kind of calibre, have they? It's like so insulting.
Remember the list that popped up? I think it was something that popped up on Twitter years ago, and it was a list of like names of people that were barred from a pub.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it really, like, anyone that from the Oak was kind of laughing at it because of the people that had those kind of nicknames. Yeah. Like, just really sort of really no-nonsense descriptive. Mickey Two Suits was one of them.
Yeah. I think most of our nicknames, we haven't gone for I say to my people I meet here, they go, would you prefer Russ or Russell? I think really, if you knew me well enough, you wouldn't call me either of those things. So just call me what you want. Because like, pretty much everyone I like calls me Giblin other than family. But yeah, most of our friends get called by their surname, don't they? But no one's got a nickname like Bone Alone or Quimmy Savile. Quimmy Savile.
Anybody who goes by either something that's not their first name or their second name. Bert, I suppose, is...
Yeah, Bert, Bod, CJ. That's three off the top of my head. But
yeah, but none of them are... They're sort of like pet names that have just aged with people. I don't think anyone's kind of done something.
Yeah.
Occasionally something happens that for a couple of weeks afterwards, they'll be...
Yeah.
Sort of called a nickname, but then they fizzle out, don't they?
Yeah, I think one of my favourites, Lewis Phillips, was called Bandag for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that's mainly because he had a t-shirt that said Bandag that he wore a lot of the time. Yeah. And then
Angle lasted quite a while.
Yeah, that was through football. Yeah, Greg looked like Kurt Angle, but you know,
yeah.
I never thought he did. I think just everyone at football got a wrestling nickname and that was his. Yeah, he'd done all right with that. But then Greg had so many nicknames. Nine Pumps. That was my favourite. I don't want to tell the story behind it. Greg told a story. Yeah, but like he said something, and then we just focused. We laughed so much about he said Nine Pumps that we called it. And you know, like when you're out and you're having fun, like back in the day, Mark, in the early 2000s, when you first got like a mobile, and someone would say something, and then you'd change their name to that thing. And yeah, Greg was Nine Pumps in my phone for quite a while. And then you try and ring them, and you think, I fucking no idea what his new nickname is.
Emma is in mine as Emma Rockall, actually, because I think someone said to me once, you should have your emergency contact should be in there by their surname, just in case anyone finds your phone or, you know, something like that. So change her. But she very rarely answers the phone when I pick it up. So if there was an emergency situation, irrespective of what her name is.
Well, you're supposed to save a number under ICE, aren't you? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, like, no.
So you'd put Emma Rockall ICE. So if someone put into search ICE, in case of emergency, basically, and that number will come up, so that's the person they're supposed to ring. So everyone in the world, apparently, is supposed to have on their phone someone's name with ICE after it. But I think that could probably confuse me at times.
Yeah.
Why have I put you in Zoe Giblin ICE? Yeah. But yeah, I think I've had one situation where I've had to get someone whose phone out of their pocket who was having a seizure on a train. And I looked up ICE and there was someone and I rang them. And I thought, well, there you go. The system works. And then the problem was...
Vanilla.
it was Rob Van Winkle answered. He jumped like a candle, which I've never got. But then when you like do something like that, so the guy was having a seizure and I had a lot of training with seizures and things, and he hit the floor and everyone kind of around panics, don't they? And then someone said, oh, should we stop the train? And I went, no, that's the worst thing you can do, because then we're stranded here with no paramedics. So just wait, we get to the station and someone get like the attention of someone. And then I thought, oh, fuck, I'm in charge of this. I've got to rush off. So, yeah, I kind of stood around thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, and the people are like, people in the next carriage are like annoyed that they're sitting around the platform. And you think, well, no, actually, this is a bit more serious than you actually know about. Right.
At least that person asked. At least that person asked, should we stop the train rather than just put it on the board? Because, it's true what they say, though. Some people are better at situations, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's funny, like when those situations happen, that just your training just goes click, this is what you do. Like, you don't actually go, oh, what am I supposed to do? What's the protocol? What's my policies? And kind of thing. You just go, right, move everything out of the way, protect the head, phone someone. I've watched the video during the week. Vanilla Ice. Ask what the second song you released was. Right, let's go to my last one.
Well, come on, help a nigga out, man. Shit, in this car. I got your bitch be standing.
You fuck around with me, it's gonna be consequences and repercussions.
What's repercussions?
Uh-oh. Hold on, let me get that. Yeah. Well, I know it's 1932. Yeah, I'm the first one to have this. Yeah.
Hey, watch, I almost got stung by a bee.
You was scared, huh? Don't be scared. Don't be scared and don't laugh either, because it ain't funny.
That boy got God-given talent.
God might as...
What's wrong, the mustache too big?
Give up hope, man. I hung himself because of this fucking airplane is coming over. Made me have to loop all this shit. I ain't looping shit. We need to get it now or not at all.
My name's Jingley, Jingley. You think that funny?
Stop it, man. Stop.
Hey. Okay, so that a compilation of bloopers from the film Life. Which is not a classic Eddie Murphy film, not one of his biggest hits.
No.
But I really like it. So why did you choose that one, mate?
That was the one, you know, I said, like, with Phoenix Nights, I thought of the programme first and then sort of search for it. Life was the other way around. I remember the second one they showed there where he says consequences and repercussions.
Yeah.
And then the Bernie Mac bit, and then when it makes them laugh. So I was looking for that, and then sort of saw a lot of them were just compilations. I thought, oh, it'll be somewhere. And then it was watching that that made me think, oh, I've only seen that film a couple of times, and that sort of film is usually the sort of film that I would have watched 10 times or more. So I will be watching that soon. I think it's a little bit loose using the word bloopers with ones like that when it's a room full of people who are doing things on purpose to make each other laugh. So, but it's still funny. And I just think Bernie Mac, Martin Lawrence, like Eddie Murphy, like I was saying earlier with that thing, it's nice one. I'd give anything to just sit there for the day.
Observe. Oh, it'd be great if you're in with them, if you know what I mean. But if you're on the outskirts of just kind of poking your head in and laughing all the time. But I don't know if you've ever seen that interview. Chris Moyles interviews Vinnie Jones and says about, you know, are you proper Hollywood now, or are you not? And he said when he filmed Gone in 60 Seconds, like Nicolas Cage was kind of between takes. There's obviously a lot of downtime and stuff. And so Nicolas Cage used to hold court. And Vinnie Jones is like, you'd get absolutely fucking destroyed in the pubs that I go to. Like, and he used to walk off and like, you just couldn't handle it. And I think that's because Nicolas Cage was a massive actor in that, and everyone else was kind of up and coming, weren't they? Like, Life, you have some three of the biggest comedians at the time, almost Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, Bernie Mac, sitting there just riffing off each other.
Yeah.
Like, amazing, isn't it?
There's probably there'll be lots of improvised and ad-lib bits in a film like that, I'm sure of it. But it's definitely gone on the list to watch that film again. But I just think Eddie Murphy's laugh is obviously famous for it. It's very infectious.
Yeah, I think Eddie Murphy is my favourite person that people do an impression of. So if someone does an impression of Eddie Murphy, I really, really like it. But I wouldn't even try to do it. But
Jay Farrow is really good. Like he does a good little run where he'll do like Eddie Murphy, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock, like one after the other.
Yeah,
it's a good.
He did a really good one of Denzel Washington pretend like being a driving instructor. So it might be worth looking up, but Jay Farrow is really good. But they've got rid of him now, I think, in Saturday Night Live. They've replaced him with another black impressionist. And then maybe they can only have one. I think that's their kind of limit on that. But I really like Eddie Murphy. Do you know the my favourite actor's name is in Life? Could you guess what person?
Oh, yeah, I know who it is. It's got to be Bokeem Woodbine.
Yeah, what a great name. And then I like it when I see him in stuff. Was he in The Rock or something? And I saw him and thought, oh, yeah, Bokeem Woodbine. I love that name. But that can't be real.
He's in The Rock. Is it called Dead Presidents as well?
Yeah,
Dead Presidents. Like the heist movie.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Is that at the beginning they're in Vietnam? Or a jungle type of war, aren't they? You know when you kind of remember... You remember specific bits from movies if they've affected you. And when they go looking for the guy who went for a wee and they find him with his knob in his mouth. That's I've watched that film probably when I was 14 and I still only really remember that bit from it.
There's a really good, I think it's something that I ended up watching when we were maybe doing the celebrity anecdotes or something like that.
Right.
So I stumbled across it, an algorithm thing, and it's Clive Anderson interviewing Eddie Murphy. 90s, I would say, maybe.
Probably early 90s.
Really, really good interview, because Clive Anderson is one of those kind of people who pushes the limits, doesn't he, with people he's interviewing.
Yeah, well, famously with the Bee Gees, isn't
he? Yeah, Eddie Murphy isn't on like Harrison Ford levels of being considered as being like maybe difficult in that, but he's not, it must be a difficult person to interview because he's really, sometimes when you hear him speak in interviews, he's really calm and chilled and he's not messing about or not having fun at all.
Yeah.
But Clive Anderson, actually the nature of the questions and the fact that he's quite clever and the ones that he asks actually gets a couple of genuine sort of good reactions out of Eddie Murphy, where Eddie Murphy isn't pissed off. I think he's appreciative of the cheekiness and the fact that Clive Anderson's quite smart and clever, so he sort of lets him get away with it, and it makes for quite a good sort of little dynamic.
I think when people come over from America to be on programmes, then when they see, oh, we're going to be on the BBC, they think everything's really prim and proper, and you know, they have that kind of, they think English people are very stuffy, so like where Graham Norton's kind of ruined that by letting people drink and like, you know, people are on there drunk and having a really good time. But, you know, there wasn't too many, if people went on the get interviewed by Terry Wogan or Michael Parkinson, it was all very serious all the time, wasn't it? And I suppose Eddie Murphy being told he's going to be on a program with an ex-barrister on the BBC, you know, maybe he's not ready to be jumping around and, you know, where Robin Williams, like, I've never seen him sit and just talk to someone without him getting up and running around and being doing like, and then when you kind of realise that he was like a manic depressive and an alcoholic, you think, oh, right, that makes a lot more sense. You know, he must have had such highs and lows of things. But then in front of cameras, he was really great. I suspect Eddie Murphy has that kind of, I can't swear because it's the BBC. I can't do this because it's the BBC. I've just probably got, he's probably been briefed by his people and it's like the wrong brief basically, isn't it?
Yeah, not, like the Nutty Professor was obviously, like that, they were good Nutty Professor films, but my favourite bit of is that, was there two Nutty Professors or three?
Two.
So in two entire Nutty Professor films, my favourite bit is the Dave Chappelle bit.
Women be shopping.
Like, without a doubt.
Please subscribe to us at youtubereviewpodcast.blogspot.com or see us on Twitter at RockleRussell1.